Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day, and thank you for kicking it off with us right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, where we are locally grown radio. 7:04 on the clock. Got your host, James J. Maloff, here. I am joined by Melissa Kay.
Good morning.
We hope you are having a safe, good Wednesday out there, everybody, especially our Wisconsin listeners. I hope you got everybody doing okay out there.
I hope so. Mm-hmm. It sounds scary. I can only hear it through the window.
I left early to get to work and still barely got here in time really get going here this morning. It was a little dicey out there. Be careful, everybody. Yeah. It's only going to get even more dicey throughout the day. We'll, of course, keep you up to date on that. We have some closings to tell you about and some cancellations to get into. Imagine that the way this usually works on this show, Melissa, I don't know how many of these you've experienced these kind of days with us yet, but we get them throughout the 3 hours. Here we'll be getting some more email wise and calls, that kind of thing. And I do want to open it up to the audience. We'll mention this a couple of times, but 424-2600, if we don't mention some cancellations and you know of some out there, you want to let us know. We do have to, of course, confirm those things, but we can get them out on the air and at least get the conversation going, right, Mel?
Especially businesses. I mean, most schools, parents are getting texts way before we come on air, so they know that the schools are closed. But, businesses, as they close or need to get the information out there, we're definitely happy to help.
We used to do the show 6 to 9, and a big part of the reason that Carl told me there was for school cancellations. They don't need us anymore. They don't need us anymore.
We got a lot of other technology to get that information out there.
It's very true. We got, of course, your usual unusual suspects throughout the whole show today. Melissa and I are going to have some fun. We're going to get into our National Day of Calendar this hour. We're also going to talk about some groundbreaking stuff that happened in just the last 48 hours. We'll get into some of that. I can't wait to talk about that with you, Melissa. And we also, of course, in the 8 o'clock hour, have Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club. I have one birthday from yesterday. I crossed over to today just for us, Mel.
All right. Good, good.
And also we have a little bit after that, our Wicked Awesome Word of Wednesday from our good friends at Quality Plus Printing.
Phil's going to call us today.
Yeah, looking forward to that. That's going to be fun. 9 o'clock hour, good stories of the day, that ain't right stories. Got some other great stuff lined up for you. And we're going to have some fun topics throughout the day too, Melissa. I've got some good ones here lined up for us. We'll get to those. I do want to touch on these cancellations first and foremost, though.
Yes.
As far as the schools closed, everybody's closed.
All of them.
Wisconsin Rapids Public and Private Schools, they were actually first out the gate with this. Port Edwards, Nacoosa, Pittsville, Auburndale, Marshfield, both public and private.
Yes.
Focus Food Pantry has the policy that when schools are closed, the pantry is closed. So they will be there. We just ask us to let everybody know that Focus Food Pantry will be closed for the day as well. Mm-hmm. And our good friends over at the EDRC hit us up as well. They have decided to cancel their on-site and meal deliveries for today, given the winter storm predictions and unsafe conditions.
Yeah. So if you have a neighbor that you know relies on that, think of them today if you can.
Yeah, please do. I know that there's a young lady, who I will be stopping by to make sure to see how she's doing. She has a name for her walker, and I can never remember it. I always thought that was cool. I like the idea of doing that.
I mean, we name our cars. Why wouldn't you name your walker?
Right on. Yes, exactly. So those kind of things, that will take me a whole 10, 15 minutes tops, and that's if I talk with her today. She never wants to keep me very long. She's always pushing me out the door. It doesn't take very long. Please do reach out to your neighbors, your community members, for God's sake. I mean, reach out to each other.
It's a great day for soup, and soup can go a long ways.
Very good. That's very true. No argument here, Melissa. Yes, that's very true. I don't know why that took me by. You're right, though. That soup's a perfect one. Be careful walking to the door with soup today.
Yep. It does especially if it's hot.
Yes. It feels like the one of the days that it's not as great to have something that's as easy to fall around or anything. But, put a topper on it. Put a top on it or something.
Right.
You're done. You're set.
Take it in a quart jar. Those are great for transporting soup.
How are things in Abbotsford?
Icy.
Yeah.
my living room windows, I can't see out them. They are completely coated in ice. And all morning here while I've been recording the news, I'm hearing it hit the window.
It was a long night last night for me, and I didn't sleep, and that's all I heard all night. Was it piling on the window? And when I looked out to check my vehicle this morning, I couldn't see. I couldn't see out the window.
Yep. And it was so windy throughout the night because there was like 45 mile an hour gusts is what they were predicting. I don't know if they actually got that high, but that's a high wind.
Yeah, I didn't see that part either as far as winds or anything, but you're right.
I know I heard it.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it definitely sounded like it was up to that speed at least.
Yeah.
We're certainly, again, just want everybody to be safe out there. Take care of each other. Look out for each other. And keep that in mind throughout the whole day and really the next couple of days.
Well, because we're going to get a whole lot of snow coming in here pretty soon.
Yeah.
Once it switches over, and you know, we got that layer of ice, so you got to watch out for tree branches coming down, and hopefully we don't lose any power. But yeah, keep your things stocked up and supplies and warm clothes.
We know the drill. We know how this goes here in the Midwest. And you know, just do what you normally do.
with a little preparedness.
Yes. Melissa, I was really itching to talk with you about this because I wanted to get into it yesterday, but I wanted to be able to do my diligence on this subject and really look into it deeply, and I wanted to look into a couple of different angles on it. And I don't know if you've seen this or not, but I'm guessing that you probably did. The other day, the U.S. Department of Energy announced a breakthrough in nuclear fusion where more energy was gained from the process that was needed to heat atoms to temperatures hotter than the sun.
Wow.
Did you hear about this?
I didn't get a chance to look at it because I am mostly concerned about Wisconsin news.
And of course.
This didn't actually, you know, the Lawrence Livermore National Laboratory is not in Wisconsin.
Understood. Yeah.
But this is fascinating.
I know you're a bit of a news junkie like I am, too, so I had to ask. So
I am, but I had some obligations yesterday, so I didn't get extra time.
Understandable. The electricity generated was only enough to boil 10 kettles of water, British fusion energy expert told CNN in anticipation of the release, but who nevertheless described it as a true breakthrough moment, which is tremendously exciting. Nuclear fusion is a potential new energy source with increasingly real potential to solve the West's energy needs. It replicates the process of melding two atomic nuclei together, which happens at the center of our sun, a function of physics which releases intense amounts of energy as heat through escape neurons. Theoretically, it has the potential to generate enough energy to power a household for a human lifetime on a single glass of seawater.
Wow.
It produces no emissions, and unlike nuclear fission, the currently used method of nuclear power, it generates no radioactive waste.
That's the kicker right there. No nuclear waste.
This has no side effect.
No downside.
There is nothing to this. There is where every energy source we can point at. Now, obviously, if you want to poke holes at anything, you can find them. When we look at wind power energy, what is the issue there? Wind, you know, having enough land to put these things as well. Solar power, a little bit of a similar situation with Mother Nature and having the space for it. Coal, we've been over that our whole lifetimes. We know what coal does. We know the essence of coal. Nuclear fission, we just went over nuclear fission. This has none of that. This is humongous. This may be one of the
deal.
In a couple months, in a year, even less than that, or in more than that, somewhere in that time frame, this could be one of the most groundbreaking stories of our lifetimes.
Mm-hmm.
And all we got to do is keep our eye on the ball here, people, because there are gonna be some people out there who are going to try to crush this story. There are no holes in this. So what they're going to try to do is tell you, well, we're going to take jobs from the coal industry. We're going to take jobs from this industry and everything. Because that's where they usually...
It's going to hurt us. That's what they're going to try to say.
Exactly. And I plead with our audience. I plead with our people here of America. Please do not let them win on this one.
No,
do your homework. Pay attention. Yes, Melissa, pay attention.
This is going to help all of the people.
This matters. Melissa was correct. This is not a specific to Wisconsin story, but it is. It's specific to Wisconsin, to Illinois, to Michigan, to Maine, to Ohio. We can keep going.
Honestly, everybody in the world.
Yeah.
This is going to change our our climate. It is going to help with emissions. It's going to help with clean emissions. And it's going to create jobs. Unequivocally, this is going to create jobs.
Yep.
So whatever they want to say negative about it, it boggles my mind, but we need to pay attention.
Well, they do this because they have their agenda. They have their people and money in their pocket from their...
And that's the kicker, money.
Yeah.
They have the money to put out whatever information they want.
Don't let them speak for you, even though that's their job. Even though, you know, the people we hire, because we hire these politicians. We hire them. We use that the election process to hire them, and then we pay them with tax money.
I just wish we had a better interview process for them.
Right? Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I would like a much better one.
I wish we controlled that part of it.
Because
I think we could do a better job.
I got Senator Teston on this Friday, and I've talked with him, Krug, Katrina Shankland, a number of different representatives on air, off air about this. And the more and more we go along here, I am curious to know if it shouldn't be more of a vetting process.
Mm-hmm.
If it shouldn't be, hey, we know who you are, go ahead and run. You know,
where's their resumes? Where's their all of the things that you would want to have for when people are applying for a job? It doesn't seem like we have that in politics.
The requirement is, are you 35? Are you an American citizen? Now, to me, when I was a kid, I thought that was pretty cool. I thought literally anybody can be president. That's really cool. As I grew up, I realized, oh, wait, no, not everybody can be president. You have to have money. You have to have money. They like to tell you connections. No, connections, money creates connections. Nobody's going to have a connection with somebody if they don't have a money connection to them. So money creates that. So, okay, we already understand that. The majority of us that are at least over the age of 13 understand that it takes money to become president. And not that everybody technically can become president, but that process is a lot. Go ahead and ask a poor person to run for office. You know,
what's happening to our senators who are now in Washington, D.C., and they can't rent an apartment. Because they can't afford it.
Yeah. And honestly, I don't think that's that unfair. If they have to get another part-time job to go along with their representation, then so be it.
No, but it does speak to the state of housing in our country.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, that's another
what
subject.
What is affordable? I would think on a senator's salary, you should be able to afford an apartment. Maybe not a million-dollar house, which a lot of them have. But you should be able to afford to live in the place that you are helping to govern from.
When we are going through the election process, when we are going through the vetting process, that is, of course, leading up to elections, ask your representatives about these subjects. Ask them if they especially ask them details, ask them specifics. And while you're at it, ask them who they're getting money from. And if you don't feel like you're getting the right answers, you can go ahead and search engine that one. There is 3 to 4 different sites that I trust when it comes to that. Mm-hmm. When I was a kid, I heard about cold fusion. And for those that don't know, cold fusion is a hypothesized type of nuclear reaction that would occur at or near room temperature. It would contrast starkly with hot fusion. It is essentially free energy. It is just seamless energy. Now, cold fusion is what many scientists and many people that have bigger brains than I do would tell you is we're a ways off from that. We're still trying to reach that. Many people believe that is possible, but maybe not in our lifetimes. Here we are with an actual thing that works.
Right.
and we have an opportunity here to actually put this to use, to put it to save our planet, essentially. This is a pretty big story. I hope that people look up on it. Don't just take my word for it. Go ahead and do your homework. Look into it.
Right. But the rising energy costs that we're all experiencing should prompt people to, hey, if there's a better option, let's talk about it. Let's look into it.
Yeah.
If nothing else, let's watch the movie The Saint.
Ha! Yeah!
Val Kilmer and Elizabeth Shue killed it in that movie.
Oh my God, did they kill it? Oh, I love that movie. I love that movie.
1997 classic.
No, Melissa, you just made my morning. I thought I was like the only person that's ever seen that movie.
Oh gosh, no. It's one of my favorites. I love the soundtrack from that movie.
It's so good. The soundtrack's amazing. Man, back then, there was a stretch there where you can make an argument like it was half and half. The soundtrack was better than the movie.
I actually probably listened to the soundtrack more than I did the movie.
Oh yeah, I saw the movie like four or five times from then to now. The soundtrack, I've listened to it endlessly. Yes, I hear you.
Oh yeah.
But she's got a good point. She's right. They talk about Cool Fusion in that movie, and they going back and watching it like about a year or two ago, they do a really, really good job of covering the details of that as best as you can in a movie.
Right, in an hour and a half movie.
Yeah.
Because this was before they went to, you know, crazy 3-hour movies.
I watched that movie because I will watch every single thing Val Kilmer ever does. But when Elizabeth Shue is talking about Cold Fusion in the beginning of the movie, and she's got that smile and all like the excitement in her, I could watch that scene over and over again. It's just she's so good in that scene. Such a good actress.
Yes. Well, and I don't, has she been in anything recently?
Not much. She was in, there's a TV show on Amazon called The Boys, and she was in the first season of that. Did incredible. Looked darn near the same. Like, you talk about aging like wine. I mean, that woman certainly has.
And she was a great. Gorgeous woman.
Still just as great as that actor. Still just as good. I never heard really why she kind of dipped away, but I never heard anything negative. So I usually, when that happens, and it's an actor's choice to kind of pull away and focus on family.
She wanted to live a life.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. We'll take a break right here. We'll come back into our National Day of Calendar. But thank you so much for the conversation, Melissa.
Absolutely.
We'll come back and have some more fun right here on Mornings at WFHR. Thanks a lot, Jennifer. We appreciate the updates. Be listening about 8:04 around there today, everybody. We'll get a live update from our friends at the Weather Eye Weather Center. Looking forward to talking with them a little bit later.
Oh, yeah. They'll have all the deets.
Yeah. It's time for us to dive into our National Day of Calendar for this December 14th, 2022. And it is National Bouillabaisse Day? Bouillabaisse Day?
Bouillabaisse.
Bouillabaisse.
It's a weird looking word.
It is.
But a delicious soup.
Yeah, it looks like it.
Bouillabaisse.
Bouillabaisse. The name is a little bit of a mouthful, but bouillabaisse is a hearty meal that you might not have heard of, so it certainly deserves its own dedicated day. A bouillabaisse is a fish stew or soups dish which originally came from France, as the name might suggest. The meal appears to have its origins in the part city of Marillis, and it traditionally was used during rockfish and fennel seeds. Made using those rockfish and fennel seeds.
Yep, this isn't a music group.
No. Although rockfish, great name for a band.
Yeah, what?
Calling it.
Yeah, and you should have that playing in the background while you're making bouillabaisse.
New band name, yes.
And we're probably not saying it in the right French pronunciation.
Bouillabaisse. No, that's not correct at all. No, I apologize to everybody with any bit of French heritage whatsoever. I'm the worst. I am never going to be able to go to Paris. Never.
And actually, we're close. Bouillabaisse.
Bouillabaisse.
That's how they say it. Bouillabaisse. Uh-huh.
We got that right.
All right.
It is also, I almost did. It is also. I get doing that accent, man. I can't get myself in trouble one of these days. I'm going to walk up to the biggest French person in history. It is also Roast Chestnuts Day. Roast Chestnuts Day.
I have never had roasted chestnuts.
I was just
sang the song a whole bunch.
Me too. I was just going to ask you if you had, because I haven't either. Huh.
Yeah, I never had.
I know that there's a bunch of, like, in downtown Chicago, there were usually vendors that would have, like, some of those to sell, like, this time of year and everything. Mm-hmm. I never got any, though.
Well, and they sell them at the grocery store here. They've got, like, so they don't normally have bulk. You know how you can walk in and have, like, bulk candy dispensers or granola or stuff like that? They don't usually have that. But at Christmas time here, they have, like, these boxes of just bulk foods. You can grab one of them as chestnuts or mixed nuts. I think they've got malted milk balls, which I had to walk away from. I did. I was good. Those are my favorite, and I shouldn't eat them.
Oh, they are. Good to know. Yes. Okay, I didn't know that.
But I shouldn't eat them. If I could find them with dark chocolate, on a malted milk ball, I could probably handle those better. So, but no, regular ones are kind of not good for me.
I have to keep an eye out. In the chill of December, there's one warming treat that is especially popular across the world to keep the cold away. Roasted chestnuts are often seen, are often seen as this great, you know, food for this time of year.
How do they roast chestnuts on an open fire, though? Because, you know, that's the opening. Chestnuts roasting on an open fire. How do you do that?
I don't know. I'd like to see it done, though. I'd like to, and then try them right afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
Anything over a fire, you know, is always
it's always good to me.
Yes, it always is. Yes, and this is also a great chance to get in the Christmas spirit and the earthly, spicy scent that is brought to us from roasted chestnuts.
And actually, once you roast them, I'm reading here, the natural sweetness of the nut is revealed, so that can stave off your sweet tooth, James.
Ah, ooh,
and they're rich in vitamin C. I think you should try these.
Nuts are great.
They are.
They really are.
You can also roast them on a grill.
Very cool.
Or in your oven. So you have options. You don't have to build a fire.
Don't have to.
You can if you want to.
And nothing against any of those other options, but just things over a fire, I'm telling you.
Yeah, they're always better.
Our ancestors, the Neanderthals, got it right from the beginning. They really did. They really did.
Well, you know, what are our options? We can run and buy a grill somewhere.
I don't know where.
There's got to be one. Or we could just build a fire.
Traveling to IKEA back then was a nightmare.
It was a little tougher.
No carts. No carts at all.
The worst part was transporting things home, because, you know, horses weren't exactly tame.
Oddly, the instructions, still in a foreign language. It was weird. Monkey day today, everybody.
Ooh, monkey day.
Monkeys are interesting creatures, cute, mischievous, and sometimes downright obnoxious, which is very similar to their, you know, one of their closest chromosomes, human beings.
Yeah, you know, us.
Yeah. Many species of primates are also endangered. And then there are questions of animal rights and usage of primates in medical research. That's why there's Monkey Day, a day that's been dedicated to raising awareness about non-human primates.
Okay, but what kid has not wanted a monkey as a pet?
Yep.
I absolutely wanted one.
Absolutely. Yep. Yep. I wanted that monkey from Indiana Jones.
Yes.
Yeah, that's the one I wanted. Yeah, that guy was awesome. Yep. Great actor, too. Great actor.
Oh, yeah, he nailed it.
Yeah, really did. Every scene. never looked
but then
at
as you... Go ahead.
Never looked at the camera or anything like that.
No, and then as you grow up, you learn all these things about monkeys and about taking care of one and how they smell. Mm-hmm. And then you go visit the zoo and you see the primate area. You experience it, the smell, in person.
In theory, it really does sound like a great partner to have, like a great tag, you know,
a little buddy.
It doesn't.
But then you also learn about the negatives of this.
Like, yes. It doesn't feel like it would be a pet. It feels like it would be a friend, that you had around. Yeah.
Yeah.
And
that you had to take care of.
Right. There are growing groups of organizations that are also working to see if monkeys can be very similar as dogs are, as like seeing eye monkeys or, help assistant monkeys, that kind of thing.
Because they're so smart.
Right. Yeah. Well, and they got the thumbs. They got the thumbs, the hands, you know, they could do things that dogs can't.
They could actually do a lot more. But, I mean, look at the work that Jane, and I know gorillas are different.
Yeah.
Just being able to communicate with them and the intelligence test that they can perform, it's really impressive.
Obviously, not every animal is like this, but I would have thought Gorillas in the Mist, that wonderful movie that, you know, many more people saw that movie than unfortunately have read Miss Goodall's books, which I encourage you to do. I've only read two of her books, but they're incredible. Great writer, incredible human being.
Oh, she is incredible.
Yeah. She's a hero. She's a real hero.
Mm-hmm.
Through the work that she's done, you would think right there, okay, we understand these animals, they have hearts, they have emotions, they have souls, they have feelings. We need to treat them differently than we have. And obviously that didn't, I mean, maybe it changed things a little bit, I don't know, but certainly we still deal with these issues. We still have these problems and everything. Hopefully, the more and more we go along here, the more we figure this out of how to work with, you know, not only our animals, but our Earth, and working in collaboration with each other and see how we can help each other and benefit each other. I don't know. I don't think it is all hippy dippy or anything like that to want to keep every single species that we still have on this planet.
Well, no, we need all of them. It's the circle of life.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they each rely on a different part of our ecosystem. It's important.
Melissa's going to do the rest of the show, everybody, because I got to do some online shopping, because today is free shipping day.
What? How come you get to do the shopping and I don't?
Gotta go.
This isn't fair, James.
Gotta go. Good luck running the board from there.
yeah, that's going to be a mite bit difficult. I guess we're just on all the time.
Yes, yeah. You just guys going to have to hear Melissa sipping her coffee in the background and everything.
Mm-hmm.
It is free shipping day. Holiday shopping online has one major barrier that shopping in your local store doesn't, and that's the high cost of shipping. You can easily double the cost of your gift items sometimes. That's where free shipping day comes in, where companies around the world give you the opportunity to do your holiday shopping without being hit for shipping fees. Free shipping day was realized back in 2008. Of course, you better double check on those things before you go done.
Right, because not everything is free shipping today.
Yeah, yeah. But if one of your favorite sites or something like that does tend to do that, a good day to get some stuff
Today's
done.
Today's the day to shop.
And with online shopping being a little bit faster than usual nowadays, know, give or take, you know, depending on the company,
you know,
of course.
Blizzards aside.
Yes, yes. I would say that you still might have time to get something before Christmas. You know, if
I'm
you ordered it.
Counting on that.
Yeah,
I
got it right under the wire with some of these things, man. I just barely, I cut it close. Oh. I got cocky. I got so many things done throughout the year that I got to like late November and didn't even see all these people Christmas shopping. I got my, oh, wait a minute. Oh, no, oh, no, oh, no. Oh,
there's
oh, no,
a that, few things I forgot.
Oh, dear God. I did want to remind the audience that we are having a great time with our good friends at Quality Foods IGA doing, we're hamming it up around here.
Oh, yeah.
We're playing Christmas food trivia questions, and the first person to call in and become a get the answer right will become a qualifier for the ham giveaway. We're going to do that on Monday, December 19th. Be
we're
listening.
Almost there.
Yeah, we're right around the corner. We only got a couple more days of this, everybody. And we got one of those questions coming up for you. Be listening for it. And we'll go ahead and sit back and take a listen to Melissa's news and enjoy that. We'll be back with some more fun here on Mornings at WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back, everybody.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas.
Sort of.
Kinda.
Everywhere you go.
Except for Central Wisconsin.
Looking the 5 and 10.
Listening once again.
Welcome back, everybody, to the morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. I hope this isn't what Christmas looks like.
No. This is what you would imagine Iceland looks like, which isn't necessarily the case. Maybe more like Greenland.
Yes, yes. Melissa and I and our whole team here have been enjoying working with Quality Foods IGA. We say good morning to them. Wish them a great start to the day. Hopefully everybody's safe and strong over there. We've been having a lot of fun doing this. What we've been able to do with, of course, the greatest listeners in radio, all of you guys out there, we've been playing trivia. Christmas food trivia, if you will.
Yeah, because we gave away a turkey before Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And now we get to give away a ham.
We're hamming it up around here, thanks to our friends at Quality Foods. Big shout out to them, and thank you for that. We've been grabbing qualifiers every day. We're going to do it to the end of the week here. And then next Monday, the 19th, we will announce the winner. Looking forward to that. So what you need to do, listen to the question. If you haven't already qualified, call up 424-2600. If you get the answer right, you'll be a qualifier and get in on this. And we encourage you to, of course, check out all your Christmas stuff from our friends at Quality Foods IGA. They have a great Quality's Complete Christmas Dinner going on right now. If you want in on this, be sure to order it before December 23rd. Check this out, Melissa. Their ham dinner serves about 8 to 10, comes with a beautiful ham off the bone, mashed potatoes, beef gravy, homemade stuffing, some Hawaiian rolls, green bean casserole, and some variety of cheesecake.
Stop. You're making me hungry.
I'm so hungry from that, yeah. And this one is not going to help either one of us. The prime rib dinner serves three. That's 2-pound prime rib. You're going to get three cheese twice baked potatoes, King's Hawaiian rolls, green bean casserole, and four slices of variety cheesecake.
Yum.
If you're interested in either of those, the ham dinner is $84.99, the prime dinner $79.99. Let them do the work for you. Reach out to our friends at Quality Foods IGA. You can call them at the West Grant Avenue location at 715-423-9750. That's 423-9750. Or the Baker Drive location, 715-423-8350. 423-8350. Go ahead and visit our friends at Quality Foods. You will not be disappointed.
Yeah, and what a great option if you don't have time to cook or you don't want to cook, but you want a delicious meal that's actually really affordable.
You know, since we're talking about it, Melissa, it seems like a pretty good time to do the trivia question.
Oh, yeah.
Let's do it. 424-2600 is the number you're going to call up, everybody, to get this one. And I don't get to read these very often, so the one that I get to read just happens to be a pun one. It's all puns.
Oh, good.
Yeah. So here it is, everybody. And again, this is a Christmas pun trivia question. Get ready to call 424-2600 and answer this question for us. What meat department item could replace the last word in the line from the song Santa Claus is Coming to Town? He knows if you've been bad or good, so be good for goodness. Blank.
Ooh. Okay.
Fill in the blank, everybody. He knows
with something from the meat department.
Right. Sing this with me, Melissa. He knows if you've been bad or good, so be good for goodness. Blank. 424-2600. Call up and let's see if we get ourselves an answer here. Good morning. What's your answer?
Steak.
Yes.
Steak.
Yes.
You got it.
Woo-hoo. Oh, that's awesome. Nicely done. I was actually a little nervous if it was going to take us a while on that one. Not at all. You got that right away. Who do I have on the phone with us right now? Can I get your first name?
Peg,
it is so nice to meet you, Peg. Thank you so much for calling up and joining us.
Yeah, thanks for playing along.
Peg, you kind of sounded pretty excited about that one. You felt like pretty confident about that.
Well, that I knew.
Yeah, right on. Very cool. Peg, do you mind what town are you calling us from?
Wisconsin Rapids.
All right, got ourselves a Rapids winner. Excellent. Peg, thank you so much for listening, playing along. You're our qualifier for today. Do me a favor, hang on the line, going to get a little information from you off air. But thank you so much for listening and playing along, Peg. Really appreciate you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate you. That was great. Oh, that's a relief to me. I was worried.
Oh, come on, James.
I don't know why I worry. We got the smartest, best listeners in radio.
And you drop puns left and right without even trying.
It is too funny that I got the pun one, though. It's just the way this lined
up. Perfect. Yep.
We're going to take a break. We're going to talk to our new friend, Peg. We'll come back and have some more fun. It's Melissa and James taking you through your morning right here at WFHR. Thanks a lot, Jennifer. We appreciate the updates. I knew that was going to happen. we appreciate the updates, Jennifer. Do want to remind our audience that our good friends from the Weather Eye Weather Center are going to be joining us right at about 8:04, I would say, right around there. And we'll get a live update and find out what Mother Nature's got in store for us coming up.
Yes, indeed.
A big shout out to Peg, our newest qualifier for the Quality Foods IGA free ham that we are going to be giving away on Monday. Been looking forward to that. We got two more days to grab qualifiers, everybody, so bone up on that Christmas food trivia questions that you might think we'd be bringing to you, and get ready for it. It's going to be fun. Our first real topic of the day, Melissa, is an interesting one, and it actually ties right into us.
Okay.
Jobs less stressful than disc jockey. Have you seen the report on the most stressful jobs in America? I don't know how many people got a chance to look at this. The Department of Labor ranked them according to how common high-stress situations and high-stakes decisions are.
Okay.
And the number one job, urologist.
Oh, I was going to say air traffic controller, but yeah. Okay.
I would have thought that would have been one of the first things I thought of, too. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But this does make sense, although I don't claim to know much about the job or anything. So urologist number one, then it's film and video editors, and anesthesia assistants, judges.
Oh, yeah, that would be. Mm-hmm.
Telephone operators.
Yep. Mm.
Or if you're looking for the least stressful job in the world, be a messenger or a courier.
Mm-hmm.
I find that very interesting, especially in today's day and age where everything...
Well, yeah, that it's not stressful because you think you have to... You got a timeline. You got to get there quickly. And what about traffic?
Yeah, yeah. I'm mainly thinking of carriers in, like, big cities.
Right. That's the first thing that comes to mind.
And that job, I mean, I don't even know. They're like rabbits. Like, they're constantly moving. They're part of the reason you see them on bikes is because they weave through traffic like crazy and everything.
Well, I mean, but if you're thinking about the pressure that is placed on that person compared to a urologist, or an anesthesiologist,
mm-hmm.
you're getting a message from A to B.
Fair point. Fair point. Yes, very true. The fun part of a list like this is seeing where your own job ranks, and according to the results, we have a pretty stressful job. On the of the 873 jobs listed, radio disc jockey or radio announcer, any of the above, is 145th. So what we do is more stressful than 83% of jobs out there.
Yeah. Well, because we're dealing with timelines, we're dealing with deadlines, and things. You know, if something happens, you gotta know how to fix it.
I was in radio for a good 10 years or so, about 8 or 9, maybe somewhere in between there. When I started my second stint here at WFHR, and I started working with Bob Look, and Bob and I had a good relationship. And one of the things I appreciated about Bob is all these kind of such an old radio head had been in this industry twice as long as I have, and was very giving of certain lessons or certain knowledge. And he had this metaphor that he would use, you know, this job is spinning plates. And it's the one that I go back to every single time when I'm thinking about trying to describe to somebody this job. Or I've actually talked to a lot of people recently that are looking to get into radio, young people that are looking to go to school for it and everything. And I've been very encouraging of that. I hope that anybody in any industry you're in is always supportive of the young blood that wants to come into your industry. I can't think of many jobs out there that don't need young blood.
No, because eventually I don't know about you, James, but I'm getting older.
Yeah, it turns out.
It kind of happens to all of us.
I thought if I became an actor that I could always
time
be 25.
Stop.
Yeah, I could always be 25. That's what all the actors I grew up watching, that's all of them.
Yeah, you could try and pretend.
It didn't
work.
See
how long you can pull it off.
Didn't work, Mel. Didn't work.
Dang.
So here are a few jobs that are less stressful than disc jockey. Store security guard, embalming dead bodies.
That took a left turn.
Yeah, that really did. That really did. Airplane pilot, border patrol agent. Wow. TSA agent, disaster response coordinator.
Whoa.
Captain of a boat, or a drive-through worker. That is quite interesting.
Yeah, that's an interesting list.
I don't know how much I think some of that I agree with, and more of it I don't.
I mean,
our jobs, I've worked in big markets. I've worked in small markets. This job is what it is, no matter what the market is. It's a tense job. You can come into the... If you're looking for predictability, radio's not for you. but if you like that stuff, whether you realize it or not, I think radio, I think some of these jobs would be really good for you. I would never tell a... half of these people that my job is more stressful than yours. I would never say that.
Border
to them.
Agent, my job is more stressful than yours.
Go ahead.
But if you're looking at those jobs, you know, like as an airplane pilot, okay, for the majority part of his or her job, like if you look at it on average over the course of a year, the number of stressful incidents are probably lower on average than a radio disc jockey because stressful things happen every day.
Yeah.
So that's possible, and you would hope that for pilots they don't have a lot of stressful cases, that everything goes fine. That,
another good,
you know,
point.
They take off and they land and, yeah, and everything goes as planned.
Yes.
It shouldn't be stressful.
No.
But the potential for the fallout of something stressful happening is much more catastrophic for them than us.
Yeah.
Dead air is way, way better than dead people.
Extremely, extremely.
Yes.
It is one of those things too. Yeah. Again, going back to the whole telling other people that our job is more stressful. When I got my first kidney stone, I had to have minor surgery on it and everything, and it was intense and obviously horrible and all that. The doctor tells me after the minor surgery was done, he tells me, "Hey, you did it. Way to go. Now you can tell your mom that you know what childbirth is like." And I look at this gentleman in pain, hurting. No sleep for 2 days. And I look at him. And I say, "You think I'm going to tell my Jewish mother that I know what, hey, mom, well, I don't know what all that fuss was about childbirth and everything. I had a kidney stone. Mom, no, please, no, no."
One up you.
My mother never hit me, but her guilt is like a Mike Tyson right hook. It'll knock you out, man. That guilt of hers. There are days.
You may have just rammed yourself into a brick wall.
Yeah,
I mean.
Yeah. I'm going to tell my mother that. Yeah, yeah. I'm going to tell any woman that. I don't even care if she hasn't given birth. I'm not telling a woman that.
Yeah. Okay, Doc.
Someone who handles and detonates explosives, also on this list of people that rank higher than radio announcers. Operating nuclear power plants is slightly less stressful than what we're doing right now. But I think that you hit on something really important in the conversation. I don't think they do a good enough job detailing. It's the how consistent is the stressors.
Right.
You mentioned, all these. If I am someone who handles and detonates explosives, obviously, clearly, that is a more stressful and important job than what we're doing right now. But that is, you know, when you're not doing that, you're off, you know, you're pretty much sitting around waiting for something to do. You're
pretty chill job. So I think that to have this accurate, and I wonder how they went about this study, but I would think that they need to have a catastrophe ranking on the stress as well. Because if they included that parameter in the statistics on this, I would think that most of those jobs that involve, if you don't do it right, people die, would put them much higher on the list.
Yeah, yeah. I also, there's something else that kind of occurs to me with this and everything, Melissa. I don't think we know enough about other people's jobs. And obviously that's not a requirement, and I don't think that it's necessary or anything, but I make that joke there about explosive experts. And I'm obviously, we're doing a morning show here. I'm just trying to make people laugh and start their morning on a positive. But I don't know that much about that job. I've watched like The Hurt Locker. I've watched movies about this and stuff.
Right.
I don't pretend.
You see it on movies.
Yeah.
You don't see it in real life.
I would, and right away what pops in my head, I'd love to interview somebody that does that job. I'd like to know more about it.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder how, you know, we're always looking for new ways to create empathy in this world and get people to be more empathetic for each other. I wonder how much we would be benefited as a society if we had more of this, where we found out more of these like jobs like that. Then what do you do when you're not saving people's lives, and that kind of thing.
Well, absolutely, and that's why, James, the trend for, you know. So for so many decades, it was a really good thing to have been at a job for 20 years, 30 years, 40 years. Like, that was something to strive towards and to do and to be. Now, employers are looking for job diversity. They want to see in your background, you know, for good reason to have gone from job to job, but to have a diverse just platter of things that you have done and worked with and attempted to do. Because it makes you a better employee, makes you more rounded. You have the experience of all of these different fields that you can bring to another job. It's a good thing.
It's a good point. And it may lead into this too. So the U.S. could see a decline in high stress jobs like entry level positions and investment banks or law firms. And overall, just any of these jobs we have mentioned today could be seeing a decline. They've already seen a little bit of a nick in that. They're worrying that there could be even more of it going forward.
So like people not wanting these jobs?
Yes. And that is a little bit of a scary proposition as well, because we're already dealing with that with so many positions in our day-to-day lives. School bus drivers, we've been talking about that. Many other positions.
School jobs in general.
Yes, yes. And I keep coming back to this. If I'm a kid and I'm growing up and I'm seeing the way that these positions are being treated by our society or...
And talked about?
Yeah. What incentive do I have to do? You know, I'm just going to open up a shop on Etsy. Forget it. I don't even want to do this. I don't want to deal with any. We have to do a better job as society of when we talk about these things, when we're mentioning them, how we're talking mm-hmm. about them. And I don't... So one of the things that I was so worried about with my kids when they were really little was swearing around them a bunch. My okay. parents did that, and were pretty good about it, but I wanted to be a little better about that. And so I always, even when I was upstairs and they were downstairs and they were asleep, I was still conscious of it because they're kids. They have mm-hmm. great hearing. Their brains are sponges.
They're cornfields.
Yes, and they're always there when you don't think they are. Yep. They're always yep. listening when you don't think they are.
Of course.
Maybe we need to treat this a little bit more like that. Where we're just because we don't know who's listening, we're still mm-hmm. talking like they could be listening.
Potentially. I think another avenue that would help is to talk to people who are in these fields who are passionate about what they do despite all of the difficulties.
Right on.
I had an amazing conversation with an English professor this last weekend who is incredibly passionate about what she does despite all of the horrific hurdles that are in the education field today. And it was inspiring to speak with her.
I think that may be the best point of the conversation right there, Melissa. I agree with that. When I talk to people about this job that we do, it's fun, it's silly, and it's also incredibly stressful and can really take a toll on you and everything. And you don't make a ton of money doing this job, just point blank, you don't. But there are so many incentives and positives to it. It's the greatest job I've ever had. I will stay here as long as they'll have me, more than likely. I've had other opportunities recently, and I plan on sticking this out. I like radio. I believe in radio, and I certainly believe in what Civic and what our team here is doing.
Yes, there is good that can be done.
Yeah. We'll take a break right here. We'll come back. We'll be joined by our friends from the Weather Eye Weather Center to kick off the 8 o'clock hour. Coming up, CBS News right here on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, locally grown radio.